And we'll move to the last case for this morning, King against Walmart.
Good morning, Your Honor. So my name is Jill Brown, and I represent the appellant plaintiff, Tom King. Your Honor, this case arises from the denial of Mr. King's post-trial motion following a jury verdict in favor of defendant Walmart, Inc. In the Southern District of Illinois. The action was based upon Mr. King's fall in the Walmart premises in Glen Carbon, Illinois. The primary issues which we have raised to the court are whether or not the jury was properly instructed on the case and whether or not certain remarks made to the jury and in the jury's presence were prejudicial to Mr. King. I will confine my remarks to the issue of the erroneous instruction.
And let me ask you right at the beginning, did you specifically request the negligence instruction?
Your Honor, the specific comments that I made were contained on page 86 of the transcript of day three. And I do not believe, or nor can I say, that a specific negligence instruction, IPI 21.02, was requested. I believe that the trial judge understood very well what I was requesting. As the record indicates, we had a lengthy off-the-record conference on this issue. He had the complaint, which made plain negligence allegations, and my objection was to requiring us to have to prove actual constructive notice.
Well, shouldn't you have tendered, though, an instruction to the court?
That would have been much superior to what took place. That would have obviated any inquiry into a waiver issue.
Yeah. That's the problem here, because sometimes just objecting to the wording of a particular instruction might be enough. You know, maybe you think it's the theory is being expressed in an inappropriate way. But if you're talking about a whole new theory, the law normally is that you have to tender the instruction you want to the court. And then if the court says, no, I'm not going to give it, then you object and preserve your record, and you're fine. But the failure to show the court the theory that you wanted makes it very hard to fault the court for not doing it.
Your Honor, I believe that there really were only two possible theories in the case. I mean, we either have simple negligence or we have premises liability. We either show negligence
it's a completely fake, bogus claim.
That goes to the heart of whether or not the jury was erroneously instructed, Your Honor. As the trial court points out in its detailed order denying the post-trial motion, this is a close case. The plaintiff is not going to win this case on the premises liability theory. There were several hurdles that had to be overcome here. There were some discrepancies in the plaintiff's testimony. He was impeached on extraneous issues such as whether he had his cane, his wife.
And you think that was extraneous? Why was that extraneous? Wouldn't that just be a factor to be taken into account, especially since it's a slip and fall type situation?
I believe, Your Honor, that the thrust of the defense argument on this point was that the true thrust was that he did not slip on any stuffed animal at all, that he simply fell in the store.
Yeah, I understand the defense point, but the point is, it would be relevant, everything he had with him. That would be relevant to the factual setting of how this thing occurred. I just don't, your sort of comment that it would be irrelevant, I think it was irrelevant.
I misspoke, Your Honor. I did not believe it was a central issue, but it was a point that he was impeached on. Then you had the testimony by the EMT who made the report that he was told that the plaintiff got dizzy and fell. The man making the report did not remember the incident. His memory was not refreshed by looking at the report, but he states that's what he would have put down. So this is always going to be a close case. It's really going to hinge on credibility. But with the premises liability instruction, it really focuses on the notice issue.
But can I point out, in your closing argument, you said what we really have in this case is a case about the condition of the Glen Carbon Walmart store on the particular date. It's a case about the condition of the premises. Wasn't that, in essence, agreement on your part that this was, at least in part, about the premises?
Well, I knew at that point how the jury was going to be instructed, Your Honor. So I think I had to argue that issue and how our proof addressed that issue. Your Honor, keeping in mind how this came about, the plaintiff would not have been concerned about really the premises liability instruction had the case gone as opening statements indicated. There was a witness mentioned by counsel for Walmart, Byron Scalesius, who supposedly observed this aisle and the plaintiff and his family in it the entire time. So notice would not have been an issue. There would have been no way for Walmart to say that they didn't have an employee who observed the condition of the aisle. The only argument that could have been made was whether or not the condition was as that witness stated or whether the condition was as the plaintiff and his family and the independent witnesses stated. However, Walmart did not call that witness. Walmart did not call the employee who was working in the toy section. So all of a sudden, all of this should have been foreseen by me. The case changes. Now notice is extremely important. It comes to the forefront of this case. The only testimony in the case concerning this issue of any Walmart employee who saw this aisle ahead of time was Ms. Cool, who said that on her regular inspection, she would have zoned this aisle 30 minutes prior to the accident, or with approximately half an hour prior to it.
But your theory of this case is that Walmart just had a negligent way of storing these stuffed animals.
And maintaining them.
And maintaining them such that they would predictably fall on the floor from time to time, and that was a negligent, generally negligent act.
Your Honor, yes. I see this as not exactly on point with Wind versus Hy-Vee, where there's a mat on the floor placed there by Walmart employees. And it's not exactly like Reed versus Walmart, where there was a nail in a board.
That's the pallet case, yeah.
Yes, Your Honor. However, there has to be some point where stocking the shelves is equivalent to and justifies the negligence instruction. I don't think if the Walmart employees hung a 15-pound bicycle by a 15-pound test piece of fishing line and it fell down, that we could just say that's a stocking issue. This was a unique aisle within the store. It was just replete with plush animals. The whole idea of the plush animals that were there was to entice and encourage toddlers, young children, to play with them, their families also to look at them, I'm sure. But only one of the Walmart employees in the toy aisles showed up that night. Two were scheduled to work. This condition is guaranteed to have stuffed animals in the aisles. It's not like the young women's clothing section or electronics. This is tantamount to Walmart putting these items on the floor. You're going to have kids who, under the law, cannot be charged with negligence, who are going to be getting these animals out, playing with them. And for Walmart to say, because that third person or that type of third person actually places the animals on the floor, relieves them of their obligations under the law, I think is too heavy a burden to place upon the plaintiff in the case.
Okay, if you want to save a minute, now would be the time to do it. Mr. DeFranco.
May it please the court, Mr. Brown. I'm Jim DeFranco. I represent Walmart in this appeal. I simply ask that you uphold the trial court's decision upholding the jury verdict in this case. You're obviously familiar with the facts. What really this comes down to is how in the world was a trial judge in this case supposed to be on notice that another instruction was requested? There's not even a mention of what your instruction was wanted, either by name or by number. More importantly, counsel said that the instruction given by the court was an improper instruction. In fact, if you look at both the Wind case and the Reed against Walmart case, those are proper. The instruction given was, in fact, proper. There's nothing wrong with the instruction. The question is whether, if the plaintiff tendered an additional instruction, that would also be proper.
But, you know, his objection seemed to me quite clear. He said, my theory is this is not a case about the condition of the store. It's the negligence of the store employees in stocking the shelves and failing to pick things up. So he spells out pretty reasonably what he's talking about. Is everybody just supposed to drop the ball at that point? He says, what I want is an instruction about negligence of store employees stocking the shelves.
And in the very next phrase, he says, and in failing to pick things up off the floor, which is, in fact, the notice portion of what is sometimes viewed as a two-theory claim. The judge has got in front of him a jury instruction that was tendered by the plaintiff, which was the 120.09.
Right.
When he withdrew it,
and then you came in with it.
Context,
and said, yeah.
Well, I didn't tender one because that's the one I thought was appropriate, because throughout the case and throughout the pleadings, and at least until very close to trial, that was the theory of the case. The second portion of the issue, of course, Your Honor, is whether there's any evidence to support the negligence theory. And the distinguishing factor between both the Wind and the Reed case is that there was some evidence to support the proposition that it's more likely that a Walmart, or in the case of the Wind, the Hy-Vee employee, placed what was on the floor on the floor. And it's not just that it was merchandise, it was because of the activities and operations of the store. In fact, in the Reed against Walmart case, the court said, the most logical explanation for the board's origin is that it used to be part of a wooden pallet, and it went through the other possibilities and said it was, you know, it's highly unlikely that anyone other than a Walmart employee placed the board on the pathway. Makes sense. But in this situation, if you view the evidence most favorably to the plaintiff, what you've got is testimony that there's nothing on the floor, testimony that sometime not too far off of that point, the plaintiff and his two daughters and his wife entered the aisle. There are some things on the floor. And then there's this alleged fall, and a customer comes in, and there's 50 to 20 things on the floor. Now, mind you, the customer witness who supposedly was discovered long after the fact had problems. But just assuming all that to be viewed in the light most favorable to the plaintiff, it's not quite clear what logical inference you can draw that would support the theory that somehow a Walmart employee put this the stuffed animals on the floor. In fact, the only thing you could do with that evidence is say, how did all these extra stuffed animals fall on the floor, and the plaintiff and his family members who are there not see it? they were in there, according to their testimony, a half an hour beforehand.
Wasn't Mr. King kind of flail? Didn't he fall two or three times, according to his testimony?
Well, it depends on which testimony you're wanting to believe, but it was also contradicted. To answer your question, yes, there is evidence that he said that he fell, I think, three times at one point he said that he fell. But from what, I don't know how you could draw an inference from that, but the most likely thing that occurred is that store employees put it on the floor.
No, I thought the theory was that they had been somehow stacked in the aisle so that they fall down too readily on their own.
But there was no evidence to support that theory. And that was really what Judge Prowse's biggest point was in his order, which is that's all well and good, but you have to have some foundational evidence to support the inferences that you want me to draw. And without that, there's nothing I can do but sustain my previous ruling, which is the condition of the premises instruction, the 120.09 instruction, was correct. And the other instruction that you never asked me to give is not appropriate in any event because there's no evidence to support it. There's nothing to rebut on the other arguments, so I finish unless you have any questions.
That's fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Mr. Brown, you have a minute, I think.
Your Honors, what the record does show, if you read it closely, is that Mr. DeFranco and I submitted, pursuant to a pretrial order, instructions at the beginning of the case. It doesn't reflect how much time we spent arguing over these, but we did try to present the court with a package. This trial, like many trials, did not go the way that everybody had thought it might go. It went swiftly. Witnesses weren't called. So I'm stuck at that situation, not having the instruction with me, with either keeping my mouth shut and letting it go in or making an objection. And it, I think we could have gotten an instruction to the jury without really delaying the trial. On the merits of the issue, we don't have a picture from Walmart to show what that store really looked like, even though it was their policy to photograph these stores after the customer was taken away. They did not take such a picture. The evidence was within their control, and I believe the situation is one that is not just a premises condition.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement. Court will be in recess till tomorrow morning.